All right, I've got several comments from you guys which have got me thinking, and I'm going to cover one of the comments in this particular podcast because I've got quite a bit to say about it and some of the interlinked topics. It's from Theo Viatos. He says, Hatman, good video would be one on tattoos. Why all of a sudden have tattoos come into fashion? I don't get it. Social engineering? The tattoo thing is interesting to me because tattoos are more popular now in the Western world than they've ever been before. Now, this is especially interesting with regards to the black community because back in the days, in the 90s, the 80s, and earlier, it was very rare for black people to get tattoos. Very rare. It was seen as something which black people just don't do. And this is speaking from within the black community. We don't do that. We don't do the whole tattoo thing. It was rare for black people to get tattoos. But today, it's rare, particularly for young black people, under the age of 30 or maybe even 35, it's rare for black people to not have tattoos in the Western world. Now, in fact, it's got to the stage where if you're a young black person and you don't have tattoos, some people actually look at you strangely, like, why don't you have tattoos? So, from the perspective of the black community, this tattoo craze is definitely very interesting to me. I'm not sure if there's anything deeper to it other than it just being sheeple being sheeple, because that's how people behave, right? They just copy trends and they don't really think about why they're following and copying, they just do it. This is the nature of human beings worldwide in every society. They copy those around them. That's just what they do, right? Now, with regards to the wider world and the wider community within the West, there have always been people with tattoos going way, way back. Hell's Angels and bikers. A lot of the people who are into heavy metal were very much into getting tattoos and what have you. So they've always been around. And among working class white British people, again, tattoos were always fairly common. Same in America, etc. But they were still associated with being a bit rough. Right, tattoos were not really trendy decades ago, even among white people. They weren't really trendy the way they are now because they were associated with the rougher part of life, maybe like football hooligans or, heavy metal heads or skinheads or people like that were kind of associated with having tattoos. But now it's trendies. Little fresh-faced kids are getting tattoos all over their body. All over their neck and their arms and everywhere. Skaters, just trendy kids. It's become part of popular culture to get all these tattoos. And again, I can't know whether there's anything deeper to it other than people being sheeple. I don't know what's in the ink. Maybe there's something in the ink that's a ticking time bomb and is going to cause people cancer. It's a carcinogen. I have no idea. Yeah. But it is very interesting how tattoos have become so popular. I myself don't have any tattoos, not one tattoo. And I have been asked by people, do you have any tats? Especially girls will ask me this question. Have you got tats? I'm like, no. What do I need tats for? And they say, oh, why not? Have you never thought about getting any? I'm like, no. What for? I feel no reason to get any tattoos. You see, to me, for you to put an indelible, man, whenever I'm doing these podcasts or even my YouTube videos, I always get people coming through on WhatsApp. Anyway, for you to put an indelible mark on your body, or for me to want to put an indelible mark on my body, there would need to be a good reason behind it. Now, in traditional tribal cultures, like the Maori, for example, they have tribal tattoos that actually mean something. There's a deep cultural, sometimes even spiritual meaning or tribal meaning behind their tattoos. And same thing in Central and South America among the native populations, yeah? The indigenous Amerindian people have tribal tattoos and whatnot that have a deep cultural significance. Those kind of tattoos I fully understand. Even within the Western world, people who are in gangs, yeah, I'm not advocating people joining gangs, all right? But what I'm saying to you is, I can understand why gangs have got tattoos, to identify themselves as being a member of a particular gang, and particularly when they go to prison, they end up with prison tattoos. It's a way of communicating your rank within the gang, your role within the gang, etc. So I can understand the functional purpose of having tattoos for certain gang members. But for the general population to just be going out and randomly covering their bodies in tattoos, you know, just looking for an excuse to have a tattoo. Okay, because that's what it seems to me to be. There's no real deep meaning behind most people's tattoos. They're just looking for an excuse to go and have a tattoo, and they'll think up, oh, I'm getting it because of this, I'm getting it because of that, oh, tattoo this person's name or that person's name or my dog or, you know, whatever, all kinds of random stuff, which to me doesn't seem, I mean, look, if you want to go do it, it's your body, do what you want, but for me personally, I wouldn't want to tattoo anything on my body without a very good reason for it. And I don't see any reason for it other than just following fashion. It's not enhancing my life in any way. You know, I don't think it looks good personally to cover myself in tattoos. I think it looked terrible. And one thing I don't like personally is tattoos on women. I think women look way better without tattoos. And I'm actually disappointed when I see so many girls who are pretty, even, you know, really pretty looking girls, and they cover themselves in tattoos. It don't look good. But again, sheeple will be sheeple, and they will copy and follow, and they won't really think rationally about what actually looks good. They will just follow the crowd. Like the Pied Piper leading the rats into the river, that's how people are. So yeah, it's something I've thought about, the whole tattoo thing. Is it social engineering? I don't know. Maybe some of you guys have got some theories about tattoos. If you think it's social engineering, I'll be interested to hear your theories on that. Why do you think it's social engineering? What is the purpose of getting everybody to tattoo themselves? It could just be, as far as I can see at the moment, my best explanation, my best guess, is that it's just sheeple being sheeple. And there probably isn't any social engineering aspect behind it. I could be wrong. Again, if you've got information or evidence which could lead me in a different direction, then please present it. But from what I can see right now, it's just sheeple being sheeple, and tattoo parlors are benefiting and they're reaping the rewards of this massive craze, you know? So those are my thoughts on tattoos. Don't have any myself. Have no intention of ever getting any myself. I don't see why I would want to. I want to see how it benefits me. And as you get older, particularly with the women, right? Imagine when these young girls were pretty and everything now, and they're just about getting away with having all these tattoos. Imagine when they're 40. Imagine when they're 50. And they got them tattoos all over them. You know how ugly they're going to look? Oh, man. So moving on from this specific topic, tattoos. Actually, before I do that, I want to address a comment here from Solomon Ultra. He left a comment on my MGTOW podcast. Solomon said, I came across MGTOW in 2014 and I found it amazing. However, I chose to leave it alone and create my own philosophy called Grandmaster Bachelorhood, which is more about self-reliance, real-world education, confidence, clear thinking, and financial independence over a 15 or more years of practice. I might come out with this concept a couple of years from now after I release Breakbeat House, because MGTOW is too negative. Okay, I think I got everything you were saying there. I'm very interested to hear about your philosophy, by the way, Solomon, Grandmaster Bachelorhood. Very interested to hear about that. If you could give me more on that, if you're willing to share it with us, drop it on the community tab on Patreon, and I'll definitely read it. I'll be very interested. I think, judging by how many comments I got on my MGTOW podcast, I think a lot of people would be very interested in your Grandmaster Bachelorhood philosophy. So if you want to share it, please do. I'll definitely be interested. And the other thing which he said there in his comment, he said MGTOW is too negative. That's the feeling I get from MGTOW. From the MGTOW people I've seen, the guy that I talked about in my MGTOW podcast, they just come across as very negative. And I know it's a negative situation, so I'm not judging him for being negative, but for someone who, or for anyone who's looking for solutions, being consumed by negativity, I don't think is the best solution. And that to me seems what to be what a lot of the MGTOW guys are falling into, this situation where they become consumed by negativity and they see negativity everywhere. You have to have in this life, if you're gonna keep your brain and your mind and your spirit in any way healthy, you have to have a glasses half full mentality. You have to have a glasses half full mentality. Even if you come to terms with your lot, even if you accept that you're not going to be able to achieve all the things that you wanted, you still have to have a mentality where you're trying to make the most out of life and there are still decent things to live for. You have to still see positive things around you. You have to see humor in everything. And that's one of the things about any hardship that you may go through is being able to see humor in it. Yeah? Be able to laugh even at yourself, at your own predicament. And it will help you. Do you understand? So, yeah, MGTOW to me, from what I've seen of it, it seems negative. And I'm not judging them guys. They're in a dark place, I guess, a lot of them. I'm not judging them, and I completely and fully understand why MGTOW exists and what it's a response to. But yeah, you it might not be the best road to go down for everybody. That's all I'll say. So anyway, moving on from what I talked about with regards to tattoos, I want to talk about Western culture in general, or the culture in the developed world, all right? Because it's not just the West, it's also places like Japan and Korea, these kind of places too. But generally speaking, it's the West. Now, one of the things that most of you will have observed in your lifetimes is the fact that each generation looks down upon future generations in many different ways. So, for example, with music, your grandparents listened to a certain type of music. When your parents came along, they were probably listening to new genres of music, which your grandparents didn't approve of. Oh, music in our day was proper music. We didn't listen to this rubbish. This is really morally bankrupt music, and it just sounds like noise, or whatever reason they had for not liking it. You will have observed this. The grandparents didn't like the parents' music. Then you came along and your parents didn't like your music. I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but I'm sure most of you have observed this trend. And we are led to believe that this is natural and that all it is older people getting stuck in their ways and just hating on the younger generation for no good reason, really. Getting stuck in the past and not moving with the times, and that there's really no validity to their critiques of the music and the culture of the younger generation. And in fact, people would say the older generations are being hypocritical. They always say, oh, in my day and this, that, and the other. But in reality, they would accuse the older generation of being just as wayward in their youth as the younger generation are. This is the narrative that we're told to accept. Well, I don't accept it. And I've mentioned recently in a podcast how Black American culture has basically gone down the toilet. And specifically, if you look at music, look at the music that Black America was producing through the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, even the majority of the 80s. Some of the most incredible records in history were coming out of Black America during that time. Today, and records which really were universal, anybody could listen to these records and get something from them. You know, especially a lot of the stuff that came out of Motown and stuff like that, you know, James Brown and Sam Cooke and all these kind of people, even Michael Jackson. It was such universal music, even though it was from the perspective of the Black American struggle. The lyrics and the concepts were not so specific that it wouldn't relate to a wider audience outside of Black America. And to me, the quality of the voices that Black Americans had back then, the singers, was better. They were more soulful. It was just more, I don't know, it was just more grandiose and epic and just, like, for example, you know the song 112th Street? One of my favorite songs of all time. People don't make music like that anymore. Tell me I'm lying. It's certainly not in the mainstream. And so, it's not a case of looking back with rose-tinted glasses and deluding yourself into thinking things were different back then with regards to Black music, Black American music. No, you can clearly see that the music back then is very different to the music now in terms of the quality, in terms of the voices, the soulfulness, and in terms, and most importantly, in terms of the message. Because music back then, Black American music, was not so fixated on money, on overt sexual references, etc., etc. Yes, sex was covered, but in a more creative way and in a more tasteful way, so the wider audience could listen to it. That's not the case anymore. Now it's all out in the open. Now it's very gratuitous when it comes to talking about sex, very gratuitous when it comes to talking about money, and it's all over the place. Hedonism, drugs, all this kind of stuff, and they're pushing it in the mainstream. So there is a clear difference between the moral position, or how can I describe it? There's a clear difference between the type of lyrics and the type of image that was projected in Black American music decades ago. There's a clear difference between that and then what we have today. Very different. Okay? Now, and but before I get onto that, Louis Farrakhan, who is the famous Nation of Islam Black American quote-unquote leader, he once said words to the effect of, a rapper with one song can reach more Black people than 1,000 preachers can with 1,000 sermons. And that is very true, and it's very important to understand, because it shows you how powerful music can be as a tool of social manipulation and social engineering, which is why the powers that be are so interested in manipulating it, and why they do manipulate it. They're fully in control of the music industry and steering which way it's going to go, especially the mainstream, the big artists. Of course they are, because it's so, why wouldn't they be interested in it? You know, for those doubting it and thinking that's far-fetched conspiracy theory, when you see how massively influential music artists are, why wouldn't the powers that be interested in trying to influence the direction of those artists and using them as tools to try and influence public behavior. Why wouldn't they be interested in doing that? Why would they allow a chaotic situation where artists are just influencing people to do whatever and the powers that be say, oh, let them get on with it. If they influence society down a path of destruction, well, hey, you know, we'll let them do it. Free country. I mean, come on. You can't be so naive to really believe that if you think about it rationally. So anyway, when it comes to these generational differences, right? Each generation becoming more and more different than the previous. We're led to believe that this is an organic process, that this is just natural for us to have a totally different culture, youth culture than our parents, and our parents had a different culture than the grandparents, etc., etc. It's natural, this progression. I'm telling you that it's not natural. I'm telling you that this is an engineered situation because humanity is being led down a particular path by social engineers who have been planning this for decades, maybe even longer than that. They have a plan for where they want society to go. And I do recommend people read The Protocols of Zion, because regardless of who wrote The Protocols, whether it was really Zionists who wrote it, or whether it was a propaganda piece designed to demonize Jews, regardless of who wrote it, it was wrote a very long time ago. We're talking about 100 years ago plus. And whoever wrote it clearly understood the human psyche and clearly was very well versed in tactics of social engineering. Clearly, if you haven't read The Protocols of Zion, it's easily available to read on the internet. Go read it and try and tell me that those techniques are not being implemented today, are not being used on society today. Of course they are. All right? So society is being pushed down a certain path. And how do I know this? Well, one of the pieces of evidence which I can give to you guys is look at tribal communities around the world. Go to the Amazon rainforest, go to the hills of China, go to rural South Africa. And if you look at the different generations of families within traditional tribal communities, the culture, the music, etc., has barely changed in sometimes hundreds of years. You go to the Amazon rainforest, there are going to be some changes because there are interactions with Westerners, because there are very few uncontacted tribes left now in the Amazon. There are apparently one or two, but, you know, very few. But still, even among the tribes who have been contacted that still live in the Amazon rainforest, in terms of their culture, their lifestyle, the music, the stories which they pass down, their culture has remained unchanged for centuries, as far as we can tell. This is because there is no external influence upon them, or very little external influence upon them. The social engineers haven't really got to them the way they've got to people in the Western world, where people are cajoled into cities and towns where they can be more easily manipulated through television and the internet, smartphones, and all this kind of stuff. Out there in the Amazon, in the rural communities in Africa and Asia, South America, etc., people are, for the most part, being left to their own devices, and they're being left unmolested and unmanipulated. And when you leave people alone, you will not find this massive change, intergenerational change occurring. You won't find it in terms of, you know, the music of the previous generation being very different to the music of the younger generation, and you know, going on and on and on like this. The behavior of each generation won't change so much in these traditional tribal societies. You see, human beings, you know, instinctively have a mentality of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so these tribes who live in the Amazon are happy living a particular way on, you know, until their rainforest is destroyed, then they're forced to change. But the ones who still are able to live in their own natural habitat, it's if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Younger generation feel no need to do anything different than the older generation were doing. I'm sure they still have their terrible teen moments and what have you, but they pass down folklore, traditions, rituals, songs for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's not like the songs that the youngsters like. I mean, I'm sure they make new songs too, but they still like a lot of the old songs. You understand? And even in cultures like Middle Eastern culture, I can tell you, and certain parts of Asia, youngsters today like songs from decades and decades and decades ago, a lot of the time, you know. And you could say the same for Western culture when it comes to certain classical music, but that's kind of fringe, you know. There's not many mainstream Western kids who like listening to Beethoven or Tchaikovsky, etc. It's fringe. Whereas with traditional cultures, within their culture, it's mainstream. Everyone listens to the song Granddad used to play, and now we play it. And do you understand what I'm saying? That's the natural state of human beings, to actually not change too much in terms of their tastes for music, their culture, etc. But in the West, culture is changing in a rapid fashion. Each generation, the culture is so different than the culture before. This is why you're getting intercultural conflict. This is why you're getting more intercultural intergenerational, not cultural. This is why you're getting more intergenerational conflict and misunderstanding. Because the society is being engineered to change so dramatically each generation. How could the previous generation possibly accept what the new generation are doing? It's so radically different from what they were doing. It's so dramatically different from a moral point of view, from an ethical point of view, to what they were doing. How could they possibly accept it? I'm not saying everything that they introduce in the modern world is necessarily a step backwards morally, but a lot of the time it is. It's a step backwards morally, it's a step backwards socially, the stuff they put out in the music, the social trends, the behavior of people, etc. Generally is going backwards in the West. That's what I would say, is devolving. It's not evolving, it's devolving. It's devolving into savagery. So that is what really came to mind when I thought about the tattoo thing, because people are just following blindly and they're not thinking about what they're doing. And the changes are happening so rapidly, but nobody stops to think, hang on, why is this going on? Should I be doing this? And as I mentioned in a previous podcast, Mark Twain once said, if you find yourself in agreement with the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. And that's what more people need to be doing, man. Pausing and reflecting, you know, because it's just an inherent part of human nature to be sheep-like. In every society, again, I'm not just saying it's only Western society where people are sheep-like. People are sheep-like in every society that I'm aware of. Certainly every country I've been to, I've found the majority of people to be sheep-like. To one degree or another. You know, it might be more sheep-like in some places than others, but generally this is how the majority of human beings are. And so it becomes vitally important, or the people who lead them are of vital importance, because the few who are not sheep-like, the few who understand the sheep-like nature of the majority and have the power to influence the majority, their actions are crucial in determining where the society is going to go and what kind of world we're going to live in. So, anyway, just my thoughts on some of the comments you guys have left. I will get to the other comments in a live stream or in the next couple podcasts, 100%. Keep the comments coming. And again, Solomon, I'd really like to know about this theory of yours, or philosophy, sorry. Grandmaster Bachelorhood. Definitely want to hear about that. Yeah. Thank you guys for being with me here on Patreon. Thank you to Theo, Solomon, David, everybody who commented on my last post, my MGTOW podcast. And yeah, I'll catch you guys in the next one. It's happening, I'm out.